All right, everybody, you are listening to the Casa Connection. We hope you've been enjoying our content and the many discussions we've been having about the world of foster care, whether it's talking about mental illness, whether it's talking about education in foster care. Our last episode was fantastic. We had one of our CASA ambassadors and very good friends of CASA Shaw here with us, and she's back. She is back with us on this episode. She was talking about trauma being removed from her home when she was a foster youth at the age of, a foster youth at the age of 15. And she is back this week to talk to us just about the aging out process, the quote, aging out process. And Brittany, we want to thank you for joining us again this week here.
Thank you for having me.
It's great to be able to talk to you, talking about your story and just to let folks know that, you know what, you can go through the foster care system. You can have traumatic experiences in your life, but you can come out of it on top. And quite frankly, you've been the poster individual of that here at CASA Shaw. And, we just thank you for being here to talk about your story. And I know we talked about trauma on the very last episode. And folks, if you hadn't heard about or heard that episode yet, head on back in our podcast feed and take a listen, because Brittany, you talked about being removed from your home and just how it's not normal. It's not normal. No. And it presents a different pathway for foster youth within their life. When you were removed at 15 and you went through the process, we talked about your light switch moment as well, that, oh my gosh, CASA is here for me. They're here to help give me a voice. Was there ever a part and within the process where you said, I just don't know how things are going to go in terms of my pathway forward? Was there a moment where you kind of just sat back and were like, oh my gosh, what is going to happen here with me? What's going to be happening with my life?
Oh, for sure. I think from 15 on, when I was removed, my whole life was uncertain, to say the least. I mean, not that as a teenager you ever know what's going to happen in life, but I feel like when you're home with mom and dad, you kind of can make your own way and do your own thing and go to school and do sports and, you know, that kind of stuff. That was kind of taken away from me. I can give an example. I didn't get my license until I was 19.
Okay.
Because of being in the system.
Yeah.
You know, when you go to take your permit test and everything, you need mom and dad's license. Well, I didn't have that. I had a DIFAS worker.
Right.
So that's not how that worked. So I almost felt like I was being held back in a way.
It's interesting. Okay.
And it was very unfair, and I was very angry about it. And I mean, I feel like that's a normal response. I mean,
absolutely.
You call up a teenager right now and tell them, well, you can't have your license till you're 19.
Exactly.
That's a piece of your independence,
yes,
in my opinion. Now, looking back on it, I realize that now, that a lot of my independence was being taken from me. And I feel like they did it on purpose, almost to make me complacent. Mm-hmm. Not that I did that.
Right.
But I feel like it's easier to keep a child, you know, not mobile and, you know, at home and not involved, because it's easier to keep an eye on them.
Yeah.
If they know where you are at all times, well, there's no worry.
Right.
So, yeah, I do feel that there was a big shift in as far as independence and decision making was concerned. I think that also has a lot to do with my life today. I'm very independent. I don't want to say I'm controlling, but I do prefer to have control over the situation because of my past.
Right.
Because I've been in the unknown so much that I don't want to be there anymore.
Well, yeah. And I think that goes to something we talked about on the last episode with regard to trauma and what you did go through. The one thing that you have always displayed, and quite frankly, a lot of foster youth do display it, some don't, and it's one word, it comes down to resilience. You've always been a fighter. You've always been resilient. And I'm wondering if you can kind of talk about that resilience as you knew you were coming to a point where you were going to be getting out of the foster care system, and how that resilience that you had really helped to perpetuate the successful individual that you have become today. Can you talk about that a little bit?
Sure, of course. Well, originally, I had big dreams of going away to college. I was going to go to Michigan. I had a set plan. I mean, I was one of those kids that from a very young age, I knew what I wanted to be, where I wanted to be, all that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
And I became pregnant at 17. Which obviously changes things.
Right.
I mean, you know, when you decide to become a parent at any age, it changes your life.
Yes.
So I was kind of stuck between, well, do I still want to go away? Do I want to stay in New Jersey, be with his father and have that family bond? But originally, I mean, I wasn't even given that option. Dyfus jumped in and was like, well, this isn't what's happening. And I'm a fond believer of, you know, that whole my body type situation, yes, regardless of your age.
Right.
And there wasn't a conversation had with me. There was a conversation had about me.
Okay.
And I think that makes a big difference when you're dealing with, especially children that are going through trauma. You need to talk with them, not about them, not to them. Involve them in the conversation, regardless of what it is. If it's back to school shopping, involve them in the conversation. Don't just say, this is what you're wearing.
Right.
Which is unfortunately what I was met with. And as far as that resiliency is concerned, I mean, I had to put my foot down and say, no, this is what I want. This is what's going to happen. And you can fight me on it, but I'm going to fight back.
Yeah.
And that's why I'm grateful. You know, I at least had CASA. I didn't have very many other people that were in my corner saying, all right, Brittany, this is what you want. Let's back you on it. Like, that's not what happened at all. It was the total opposite. It was like, well, this is the route we want to go, and we're going to do it regardless of what you say.
Well, I think it's so unfortunate that so many of our foster youth get lumped into, okay, we're the adults, we know what is best for them, and don't realize that the experiences that foster youth have had really are shaping who they are as individuals. And I think it's unfortunate that that's what happens, but I think that's where CASA comes into play, because again, CASA is able to be that voice for the youth and really to help perpetuate the resilience to a certain extent. And again, to be able to give you and other foster youth a voice in terms of what you want for yourself.
Oh, 100%. Yeah. Like I said, when you sit down and have that conversation with a child of what do you want? And like I said, talk to them.
Yeah.
Not about them, not over them, but actually have a conversation. It makes a huge difference.
Yeah.
Because I know for myself, I was so used to just being told what was happening and where I was going, and not having that kind of control over your own life, even as a teenager, even as a child, it could really push a person down to the point where they don't want to fight anymore.
Right.
And sometimes I got the idea in the back of my head that maybe that's what they wanted. They wanted me to be complacent. They wanted me to just, you know, go with the flow, not push back, which I understand as an adult now would be the easy route.
Right, right.
But yeah. I have children. I don't want that for them. I want them to do what they want in life. I mean, I'm here to give you advice as your mother, but not tell you what path you're going to follow. And I mean, as an agency who knows nothing about me to tell me what I'm going to do with my life is, it's hardening.
There were preconceived notions.
Oh, for sure. They definitely have a way of using your past and the things that have happened to you against you, which is so sad because there's so many people out there and children out there that don't fight back.
Yeah.
And they don't build up that resiliency, unfortunately, because they're just so beaten down by so many people that they're like, whatever. And that's really unhealthy to go into adulthood with.
Right, exactly. And that's why CASA is so important, inevitably.
100%.
And it's why when you got to that point where you were, quote, aging out, where you weren't going to be, quote, overseen, you know, by the Dyfus individuals at the time, what was the process like? I mean, was it liberating?
I planned a party.
You planned a party.
yes. I wish I did plan a party. I should have. No, it was actually kind of, it was like half scary and half like, I'm ready for this. Like, I need this aspect because, you know, I didn't want to be under their toe anymore, you know, as they say, because it's everything in life. It's not just, you know, like people think it's just basic. They place you in a foster home and, you know, like Dyfus goes away and now you have a family, quote unquote.
Right.
That's not what happens at all. It's literally every decision you make goes through Dyfus, goes through a state agency. It's not go home, ask mom and dad and okay, you can go out. No, every process you want to go through goes through a state agency. And and you're called the ward of the state. It's the titles you're given, the things they say to you.
You feel like a file.
110%. Yeah. I mean, it's literally like you're a piece of paper to them that they just shuffle around in office. It's disgusting, in my opinion. I mean, I wish there was a change that could be made in the system. If there's anything I could advocate against, it would definitely be like one-on-one. I understand they have such a huge case file and a burden to bear, but that's, again, why we keep talking about how important CASA is, because it's always that one-on-one.
Yeah.
You're never going to have 5 kids, 10 kids, 25 kids, for goodness sake.
Mm-hmm.
It's a one-on-one basis. And throughout all of this, I've realized how ridiculously important that relationship is.
Right.
Because it builds trust. It builds so many foundations that make such a difference and such a change going forward, especially in, like you're saying, the aging out process. You need somebody to tell you, this is how you buy a car. This is how you, I was never taught any of that.
Right.
I was never told how to balance a bank account. I mean, mm-hmm. I was 15. So I was kind of at that age of starting to learn those things, but nobody sat down with me and said, okay, well, when you turn 18, now you need to do X, Y, and Z. It was kind of just like, well, you're going to be an adult tomorrow. So bye.
You're going to be an adult like, tomorrow. That was the clock's ticking.
Literally. Yeah. It. I felt like I was like someone Jeez. Being drafted almost, you know, like, okay, you're 18 tomorrow. So you're ready to go to war. Oh, let's
yeah.
go.
Yeah.
And it was scary because I'm like, okay, that's awesome. You guys literally gave me no tools for life.
Right.
Thanks.
Right. Like, yeah, exactly. It's like, you are just kind of the file, and within the file, there's really no tools, really no tools, which is why CASA was so important to you. So when you did age out and you were no longer under the tow of DIFAS, you know, what was that process like? You said it was like very liberating, of course, but if you can go into it a little bit more detail in terms of some of the experiences, or at least one or two maybe experiences that you can really look back on and say, CASA was there for me. They helped provide a foundation of advocacy for me where it helped me with my resilience. I was going to be successful anyway because I was driven, but CASA was there for me and I'm good today because of that too.
Oh, I have the best one for you.
Okay, tell us.
I might cry telling
okay.
you.
Okay, okay.
You got the pregnant lady being emotional around here. So turning 18, I was obviously then an adult.
Yes.
In whatever eyes, I don't believe that, but in legal eyes, you yes. are an adult. I had my first son at 17, and 20 days later, as a matter of fact, I turned 18.
Okay.
And I had a DIFAS case opened on myself and my son.
Yeah.
Because in DIFAS's eyes, they didn't really trust, per se, that I had the ability to parent on my own.
Okay.
While pregnant with my son, I was in a pregnancy program. And while there, I had to complete all these different parenting classes and skills and this, that, and the third, while the entire time being threatened by DIFAS that my son would be removed from me. So upon being turned 18, I figured, okay, well, they're just going to go away now and I can parent and that'll be that.
Okay.
But instead, they opened a case on me, which at first I just felt kind of defeated. And I just kind of wanted to throw my arms up in the air and be like, you know what? It is what it is. There's nothing I personally can do. They used everything in my past against me, everything in my parents' past against me. It was almost like, because of who your mom and dad are, that's who you are going to be in their mindset. That was what was going on. And I did. I kind of laid down for a moment. I mean, I felt really beaten. That's a moment that I would never wish upon my worst enemy to have to deal with that as a parent. For anybody, it's so many different emotions. There's a lot that goes on there. But I did reach out to CASA in that moment, and they wrote DIFAS a letter on my behalf, detailing how they felt. See, I told you I was gonna cry. Mm-hmm. Detailing how they thought I was a good parent, I was responsible, all the changes that I had made that they were refusing to acknowledge at that point. You know, the positive strides that I had made. It was just, they were over here like, well, she did this when she was 15 and she did this and her parents did this.
But not much about the growth of you as a human being.
It was like they weren't allowing it in a way. It's like they didn't want to see it. It was easier to just follow that case file where it went.
Right.
And yeah, they called on my behalf. They wrote a letter on my behalf. They showed up to meetings that I had to have with DIFAS. Like, this is not who she is, and you need to be willing to give her a chance. Like, she's done nothing wrong.
Right.
And I mean, as a mom, that was like, to have somebody in my corner like that, as a person in general, let alone a parent, was, I mean, I can't even begin to express how thankful I am for that. I still have the letter to this day. I mean, I brag about it all the time because I'm like, it just meant, coming from the people it came from especially, seeing what I went through from 15 to 18. I mean, in a short 3 years, I didn't see the change in myself, unfortunately. You know, it's hard to recognize those things within yourself.
Oh, it is. Yeah.
But when you have this great organization behind you, literally like, no, we are not going to allow this to go down. It's strengthening.
Yeah.
It really is. That's another, you can use that as another light switch moment if you
there
want.
There you go.
It really is strengthening at that point. You feel like you're not alone.
Yeah.
Which is a big deal.
You're a great COS ambassador. You're a great COS ambassador. Thank you so much for telling your stories here on the CASA Connection podcast and just within our CASA program. Really, you're very much an inspiration to a lot of people, and it stinks that the path of inspiration kind of had to lead to where it is, but we're glad you're here. We are glad you were on the podcast, and thank you so much for sharing what you shared with us in this episode and on the previous episode, Brittany. We really appreciate it.
Anytime. As long as at least one person is reached out, you know, by what I've said.
Oh, I think so.
I feel accomplished.
Well, we are going to end this episode, folks. Make sure that you are following us on social media. If you are not, at @CASA_Shaw on Twitter and Instagram. You can follow us on Facebook as well. I should say like our Facebook page. And of course, head on over to our website, CASAShaw.org, and you can get a lot of great resources over there as well. It's going to do it for us for this CASA Connection episode. We will catch you on the next one.